Welcome, everybody, to KickServeRadio.com Tennis on Air with Andy Zoden. And today I'm very excited to be joined by a dear friend, one of the most respected journalists in all of tennis. He is the cause, Dave Kozlowski. He was the 1999 USTA Broadcaster of the Year. 5 years did Inside Tennis with the Cause on Tennis Channel, and now it actually airs on SNN-TV in Suncoast of Florida. Dave, welcome to KickServeRadio.com. It's great to connect with you again.
Well, it's even better to connect with you, Andy, and be part of KickServe. I mean, I've always loved the KickServe. I just didn't have the back to really make it go all the way. But KickServeRadio.com, I can handle. And I'm very honored to be part of the program.
We're very honored to have you, Dave. And you've been there, you've done that in so many different arenas in and out of tennis. But your first interview in your illustrious career was with none other than Monica Seles. Talk about that time and kind of harken back to what happened to Monica when she was on her way to what could have been a record-breaking career similar to what we've seen from Serena Williams.
Well, first of all, Andy, through my career, many, many people have been very kind to me, and I've been lucky along the way, and no one's been kinder than Monica Seles. She and I actually were working. She was the touring pro. I was the director of tennis at that particular time. She was one in the world, as you were alluding to that. She had 8 slams. But in April of 1993, she was stabbed with a 9-inch knife in the back. I got the call. I was having lunch. Actually, 2 weeks prior to that, Andy, our families were having dinner together on a Friday night. 2 weeks following, 2 Fridays after that, I get the call at lunch saying, Monica has been stabbed. And I'm thinking and saying, what? And they were saying, be ready because the press is coming in. And the press came in a half hour. And they told me, this is her agent. Just make it positive. She'll be back. So I did. It's a tremendous setback to the sporting world, but she'll be back. As soon as the wound heals, she'll be back in action. But she wasn't back, and everybody was waiting a couple of months, 6 months, a year. 26 months went by, Andy, and she finally returned to action. She was brought back by her good friend, Martina Navratilova. It was a return of the champions staged at Atlantic City in New Jersey. And the rest was history. The first tournament she played after that, she won. It was the Canadian Open. She's playing in the finals of the U.S. Open in the third set. Loses a heartbreaker match to Steffi Graf. She went on, won another slam, but her career was never the same. And there's no doubt, unequivocally, this woman would have been one of the greatest in the history books. She still is, but she would have been greater. And as good as she is on the court, that's how good she is in life to people. And she has been very kind to our family. She had my son. This was an absolute honor. He was a respectable player, a good college player, had a huge wins on the ATP Challenger circuit, but he was a sparring partner, and he was taken to New York to the U.S. Open. So she's been very kind. She actually, wait till you hear this. You have to listen to the numbers, because when she had come back, she had 4,000 interviews. Andy, 4,000 interviews. She did 2. One was with Dave Letterman, CBS, of course, with the tie to the U.S. Open. The other was done for a friend. She did the very, very first show that I had. BMW gave me a 7 Series BMW to go pick her up. The studio was crowded, and we talked for a half hour. So that will be one of the most memorable times in my life, sharing that 30 minutes live on air with Monica Seles.
Well, if nothing else, Dave, you have a reputation for making your interview subjects feel incredibly comfortable. And when you look at this illustrious list of people that you have interviewed over the years, you probably never could have imagined when you sat down to talk to Donald Trump that in 2016, he could potentially be on the verge of capturing the Republican nomination for President of the United States. Talk about that experience at the time and how amazing this evolution has been to where we are today.
Well, we talk about all the people that have been kind to us, Andy, through our career. Certainly Donald Trump was one of those guys. And he's a cool guy. I like him. I know we're not here to talk politics. I don't want to jeopardize the show by being politically minded in one area, so I will not. But I like Donald Trump. I respect him. And he's been very kind through the years. I had him about 6 or 7 times. The very first time I got a hold of him, or he made himself available to me, was at the Chris Evert Pro Celebrity, and we were doing a couple of talking heads, but then he was standing with me, and his wife came over, and Chris was there. Somebody said, let's get a photo up here. So we did. I was standing between Chris and Donald, and his wife was on the side. But I learned one thing. He said to the camera, are you ready? And they said, yes, Mr. Trump, we are. He said, well, let's go. And right before they flashed, do you know what he did?
He combed his hair.
He didn't have to, but that's a great answer.
Thank
there,
you.
Andy. He took his chest, and he threw his chest 6 inches further out in front than we had it, and put his chin out so that he was standing out. And that guy knows how to stand out in any crowd. And I know that he's going forward. It'll be interesting to see where things go. We used to have fun in New York. We would go to a suite, and he had a guy every year, an Italian guy, Sal, that used to take care of it. Sal would welcome me in, give us the best of treatment with the food and the drinks, and saying, Mr. Trump is ready to be with you. He'll be with you in a few minutes. So the experience has been good, and I can't tell you how honored I am to be with Donald Trump in those talking heads. That we'll see how things go. I may pull them out later. I never want to offend anyone. But at that very, very same location at Chris Evert, we also got a hold of Jeb Bush. Now, the two of them are contenders, so maybe we'll get a winner in one of those.
One guy that you spoke to, Dave, who is a guy that I think anybody that has followed the sport of tennis would find it to be a real treat to be able to sit down and talk to, is the great Roger Federer. Talk about the experience of talking to who is now arguably, or it may not even be arguable, that he is the greatest player of all time and one of the greatest gentlemen our sport has ever seen.
Well, I knew him as a young boy. The first time we met him, he was playing at the Eddie Hearn. He didn't win that tournament, but we covered it for Sunshine Network. I happen to know his mother's sparring partner. His mother plays a lot of tennis. So she was one of my students, not Roger's mother, but my student was also from Switzerland at Laurel Oak. So we got a bit of a friendship there. But I'll never forget this, because he wins the U.S. Open. I'm not sure what U.S. Open it was, but you can only imagine. You're in the business. You know how tough it is to get these guys in a very short period of time and get them for a soundbite after something as major as winning the biggest sporting event in the country, in the world, the U.S. Open. I knew Tony got secure the years, and Tony said, I don't know if we can get him, but let's do this. Come to the stadium. The lights will be off. We're doing the Japanese press. That's the last one. Nobody will be around. If you're there, we'll get you something. And I'll tell you, Roger couldn't have been more hospitable, accommodating, and found time for us. And what a joyful and joyous time that was, just to be there with Roger after capturing the U.S. Open, being in the stadium right on the baseline where he had hit the winning serve to clinch the title. So I've been lucky.
You had the opportunity to cover something recently, Dave, that was pretty intriguing, and that was the long-awaited rematch, albeit an exhibition, at Aaron Krikstein's club in Florida, where Krikstein and Connors, after all these years, finally played a fun pro set at St. Andrews there, and you got to cover that event with Krikstein and Connors. Talk about that.
Well, once again, that was certainly an honor. I know that Aaron Krikstein is a very good friend of yours. You've had him on the show already, and he is just solid brass all the way. We all know the match. It was a historical match that will continue being a historical match. You know, ESPN did the 34-30, and it was revealed that they were the best of friends prior to that match. They were sparring partners on the tennis court. They were golfing mates going out. They played cards. They socialized together. But after that match, there was a long period of silence, a quarter of a century, where they had not spoken. Aaron tried to make some efforts to promote the relationship again, but it never really was responded by Jimmy. So The story is, and I know you know the story talking to Aaron, that his, at that time, tennis chairman said, let's put an end to this. Let's get Jimmy here and we'll have a reunion match. Well, 6-9 months went by. They didn't do anything. This guy who was the tennis chairman became the president of the club. And he said, we're doing it. Call him again. So they put this thing together. I don't know how we got in there. It was very limited seating, 800 members. The only other press that was there, not covering the match, but doing some talking head interviews, was the Tennis Channel. So it was a tremendous, tremendous honor. Aaron, of course, was able to win this match because he's fitter and better shape. Jimmy had just had his third hip operation, but could strike the ball as well as anybody, kept the ball low zingers across the net, as flat as they could be. Jimmy reveals to everyone there, this is his last time that he's doing a major exhibition. So we were there witnessing the last match of Jimmy that's going to play out in any exhibition. I don't believe this, but I know that Aaron liked this interview. He shared it with you. We sat down, did a 18-minute nonstop straight talk interview that we got some really deep inside stuff with Aaron because of the background with his father's influence. His father, Herb, made two champions. He made Aaron, who at age 16 wins his first WTA, who wins his first ATP event, and Aaron's niece goes on at age 16, wins a WPGA. So this guy, Herb Crickstein, who was a non-tennis player, but he was a real athlete. He had to try out for the Detroit Tigers as a pitcher, knew how to mentally make a competitive player in golf and in tennis. So that was a real opportunity.
Yep, Dave, I believe that's Morgan Pressel that you're referring to, Aaron's niece, who has done quite well on the LPGA Tour. I know he's very proud of her. Dave, the passion that you talk of our sport with, it just comes through in the interview. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the time that you've spent with us today and just what you've meant to our sport. I know that everybody holds you in very, very high regard in our industry, and it's a real treat for us to be able to sit down today and chat.
Oh, you're so kind. Who doesn't want to be with cool guy Andy? It's a pleasure for me. It's an honor for me. And your broadcast skills are superior, so I always have to take a second seat when we're talking, but at least I had the chance today. Thank you so much, Andy.
You don't take a second seat to anybody. He is the cause, Dave Kozlowski. Dave, thanks again for joining us today on KickServeRadio.com, Tennis On Air with Andy Zodin.